So I saw this thing that I wanted to mention, kind of wanted to talk about. It was one of the religious leaders from one of the fucking mega churches. Like anybody needs to listen to those suit-wearing monkeys. But they were talking about how people were turning to pseudo-religions like Scientology. Now, don't get me started on Scientology. Scientology is the most fucktarded thing that I have ever seen. It's a group of people who got together who are worshiping shit that doesn't exist that was written by a sci-fi author. And they're just giving them money, hands over fist. But it's mostly celebrities because celebrities can be a bit dim. But here's the thing. He was comparing Scientology to a cult. It's a cult. Scientology is a cult. It is a cult that brainwashes people. It is a cult that indoctrinates people. What the fuck does he think he does? Christianity is just the oldest cult in the world, still practicing with the best PR team. Now, Hinduism being the oldest practicing, still practiced religion in the world, they just don't have the same PR team that the Christians do. Now, here's the thing. For me to hear a Christian, especially one of those mega church douchemongers, call anything else a cult just burns me up because Christianity is the textbook definition of a fucking cult.
Well, that's what we're gonna go over today. What is a cult? And does Christianity apply to that?
It does.
Possibly.
If you haven't noticed, I have a problem with mega churches. And the reason I have a problem with mega churches is because we have one where I live. And I firsthand saw them turn down helping people in need because they weren't high profile enough to get them on the news. Fuck these people. Anyway, about the cults.
About the cults. So I, you know, me being the little imp that I am, I looked some stuff up because that's what I do. I'm
You looked
researching.
up stuff about cults.
Yeah, you know, I'm on enough lists anyway. I thought, you know, I might add one more. So,
Well, tall grass tarantulas.
don't even talk about those. He has this habit of making up things to see if I'll believe them because I'm a very gullible little imp. And I hate spiders. Sorry, anybody out there that likes them. So he had me going on these tall grass tarantulas to look out for. And I'm like little. All grass is tall. So if he makes these little weird underhanded things, it's this private joke thing where he's trying to get me to believe something.
I wanted a pink-toed tarantula. She wouldn't let me have one.
No. Well, we have cats. Tarantulas and cats probably don't mix very well.
Well, it'll be a fight to the death. Survivor gets to
Okay, anyway, cults.
stay.
So I thought, you know, let's just start, you know, simple. What's the definition of a cult? So I found the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and there were several different definitions.
A cult. It centers around one douchemonger indoctrinating and brainwashing a bunch of other douchemongers.
True.
Now, you can't call those members of the cult douchemongers because a lot of times they're
They're
just people looking for a place to belong, and then you get a manipulative douchemonger who can speak the right language, talk to them the right way, make them feel like they belong, and suddenly they joined a cult. I know, my mother did. They're called Catholics.
Well, I mean, they usually look for vulnerable people and play into their, you know, their what's going on with them. But the dictionary says that a cult is any religion that's regarded as unorthodox. Who decides what's orthodox?
Well, nobody should be able to decide that. People should just be allowed to follow and believe what they
I mean,
like.
that's like trying to define what's normal. What's normal to one person is abnormal to somebody else.
The Christian community can't even get together amongst themselves. We live in a place that used to have a Russian Orthodox church on the corner.
No, they tear that building down. They ran them off and tore it down.
They tore it down and ran them off because the fucking Baptists in this town said, they don't believe like we do. Get them out of here.
And that, see, that's another thing.
You both believe in Jesus, you wankers.
I grew up in an independent Baptist church, and you would think that Southern Baptists were the devil.
You believe the same thing, you fucking morons.
We're all playing for the same team. I mean, they are. I'm not anymore. But, so it's religion that's regarded as unorthodox, or a great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work.
That's right.
And this one kind of was in regard of sort of like the cult of personality kind of thing. Like, you know, a rock star having a cult following, or a movie having a cult status. But it's just a person or idea. Christianity is an idea. Jesus was a person. What's the, you know. I mean, I'm reaching here, but you can kind of see how a lot of different things fall into these categories. It's a very loose interpretation.
I play World of Warcraft. That could be considered a cult if you want to get definitional about it.
But I found like the earliest use of the word cult was in the 17th century. And it just broadly denoted any type of worship of anything. So if you worshiped Jesus, it was a Jesus cult. Mm-hmm. If you worshiped a tree stump, you had a tree stump cult. I mean, it was just the veneration of anything. And then it led to denote like more specific things like the cult of Dionysus, the cult which became like during the Enlightenment period was very fashionable to have, you know, oh, look, I know my Greek history and Dionysus and blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Then later, by the 19th century, it was used to regard that unorthodoxed thing. The stuffier society got, the more narrow the definition of cult got. And it was, like, Christianity was considered originally a cult. It was considered a mystery religion. Especially like by the Jewish community, they consider Christianity a cult until the Roman Empire made it the official religion. And then, because it became an official religion of the state, it stopped being a cult, or stopped being called a cult, and had to be like referred to as cult-like instead of an actual cult.
Do you know why the Romans made it the official religion?
Because it had one deity and it was easier to organize than... It was monotheistic and it was easier to organize than polytheistic religions.
You could control more people.
Well, I mean, if you think about something with a polytheistic religion, you had temples everywhere worshiping different gods. It was harder to get them under one umbrella. But you get Christianity where it was had the Judeo-Christian God, monotheistic... And Jesus, you could centralize it all under that one figure and then have everybody contained. It was easy to control. And what do cults do?
Well, like I said in the last episode, the church in any of his denominations does not actually believe in God. The Catholics already know there's no God. You can't imagine what probably sits underneath the Vatican, but...
Yeah.
It's a control mechanism. All that it is.
As an imp of history.
It sprang forth from cavemen coming out of caves and trying to make sense out of the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, these people will believe this stuff. We can use it as a form of control.
But, and then they break it down as religion is a worship of a god or a deity, and a cult is a worship of a leader. And that got me thinking, maybe the Christianity part is not the cult, it's cult-like, but the organized religion part is more of a cult, because usually, especially like with my experience, the veneration of the church leaders, You didn't want to make them mad. You weren't as worried about making God mad. You just didn't want to make them mad.
Well, you look at Catholicism, where you have to go to confessional because you got a middleman.
Well, yeah. But, so, and, then I looked and I found there are certain characteristics of cults. And we're going to go over these and see if these kind of, and again, I don't want to be reaching. I don't want to be like
projecting. You're not reaching. You're not reaching because I want you to very simply answer me a question.
Right.
You take Scientology in one hand. Mm-hmm. You take Christianity in the other hand.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You take Scientology, you pull out the system of belief that they have. You take Christianity, you pull out the system of belief they had, you swap them.
Right.
They're the same fucking thing.
To a degree.
Not to a degree.
Well, I don't know a lot about Scientology.
It's the same deal.
I mean, I know a little bit about, was it Dianetics? A little bit. I mean, I think I read a book or saw a video once. I'm not, you know, that up to date on Scientology. I know the chick from King of Queens got all pissed off at him and said some shit.
But the point is, you can take any organized religion for the most part and swap it out with any other organized religion, and it's the same thing.
Right.
I mean, and on a belief basis, and I'm not actually saying this to be derogatory much, but it's one of those things where people sometimes don't realize when they're being facetious about things that Christians and Muslims, Christianity and Islam, are almost identical religions.
Again, I'm not as up on Islam.
They are. They have the same belief system to a degree, and they follow the same beats of the same story and believe the same things. Here's the difference. In Islam, they follow the Prophet Muhammad. In Christianity, they follow Jesus Christ. Both of those figures, when you read both of those religious texts, followed very similar paths. They both have Abraham stories, and they both technically believe almost the same thing. Now, there are some variations in their ideas of heaven and the rules that you follow and things of that nature.
But the core
is the same. It's almost like those two religions sprang out of the same place.
Right.
In fact, they probably did spring out of the same place because they both come from the same place. And I think they are two religions that sprang from the same source, and now they fight with each other when in actuality, they're all worshiping the same damn thing.
Right. Just call it different.
Now, here's the thing. Don't take this the wrong way. I know that people hear the word Islam, Islamic, Muslim, and for most people in America, they automatically start screaming terrorist.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Islam is actually a very peaceful religion. Islam actually calls for a peaceful solution to things, and it actually speaks out against war. The whole militarization of Islam and the whole rewriting of its rules and the whole, terrorist regime that took over Islam is actually a more recent problem.
Right.
Islam is actually very, very peaceful. The extremists have rewritten the rules for Islam and take it to extremes.
Right.
But most Islamic people are actually very peaceful. And they're actually very good people. Now, I kind of err on the caution of getting too involved with stuff like that because, again, it is an organized religion, and again, it has its same problems.
And it overlaps too much into politics.
Yes. Well, Christianity does, too.
It does. It does.
And for a group of people that don't pay any goddamn taxes, they need to get the fuck out of my government.
Well, we're going to talk about that here in a minute.
Anyway.
So, I found some basic characteristics of cults. First one is absolute authoritarianism without accountability.
Oh, accountability. That's my favorite word when it comes to Christians, accountability.
Yes.
Here's why. Christians created their religion. Men created their religion. Well, that's not true. The religion created itself. Men created the church for the sole purpose of I can't be accountable for all the perverse, corrupt, and stupid shit I do if I can blame it on something else. Then I can ask God for forgiveness, and I still get to go to heaven. It doesn't matter whose grandmother I stole $10,000 from. It doesn't matter whose daughter I raped in the bathroom. It doesn't matter whose child I sold into slavery. All I gotta do is say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me," and I get to go to heaven. What crock of shit is that?
Cat doesn't like it.
Well, nobody asked the cat. The cat's stupid.
All right, this one is one that I have seen firsthand.
I don't mean that. I love the cat. The cat's been here longer than the imp has.
Yeah, the cat predates me. but this one, I feel this one. I have lived this one. Zero tolerance for criticism or questions.
Do you know what the scariest question you can ask a Christian is?
Why?
You know why that's the scariest question?
Because they can't answer it.
They never can. It's always, "Well, God works in mysterious ways." Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was a child and I asked why didn't the lions eat the gazelles on the ark, and I was told to shut up.
The ark. You know. I mean, you're talking about a religion that if you go back to the way it's written in the Bible, we're all incest babies.
We are.
I mean, we're all incest babies. I mean, the whole story of Genesis is, well, he created man, he created woman, they made children. Then the children fucked each other stupid and had all kinds of other children.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, and it's like, I asked the question, I was like, if God created people.
Why did he only make two?
Well, no, and he knew what they were going to do before they did it.
Yeah.
Then why did he create them so bad that he had to have a flood to wipe them all out? That was like hitting a giant reset button. I mean, I was a Nintendo kid. I knew what the reset button was. Why'd God need one? If he knew everything, why didn't he just create the perfect game to begin with? Why does it need a reset button?
Oh, you can't question God. No, he's infallible.
I was told to shut up a lot as a child. Because I was told, I don't know how many times, you ask too many questions. You just, you know, sing Jesus Loves Me and color this picture of, you know, Noah's Ark and, you know, wonder why there's two male lines going onto the ark in the picture. But, you know, don't ask any questions.
But who repopulated the earth after the flood? Because the only people on the ark was Noah and his kids.
And their wives. Yeah, I guess they, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the most fucked up version of wife swap ever.
Anyway, number three, lack of meaningful financial disclosures.
Again.
Who doesn't pay taxes?
They don't pay taxes. Churches. Why are they making rules?
Churches don't pay taxes. That's meaningful financial disclosures.
Oh, they don't have to disclose anything. Well, yeah, churches also get on TV and tell your grandmother, "Send me $1,000, the rest of the money you have in your bank account, and God will give you back $10,000.
Yeah.
Because that's how that works.
And my mom was a treasurer of a church. Those offering plates is a cash business.
Yeah.
You know? A few checks, back when they used to write checks. But it's a cash business.
Well, yeah. I mean, I used to go to the corner store after church when I used to have to go when I was a kid. And I would buy this big pouch of Big Lee Chew bubble gum. Because I used to love that shit. And I would buy it with the dollars that I stole out of the collection plate when it came by.
Well, you were going to hell from the start, weren't you?
Okay. Why does God need that dollar bill? I need gum.
Okay. Unreasonable fears of the outside world. Christians are afraid.
Of everything.
Of everything. I mean, there's a reason why I don't come out to my family, and it's one verse in the Bible. Suffer no witch to live.
Well, that's because they're scared of witches. I don't know why God's supposed to be infallible.
Yeah, if witches aren't powerful, then why do they need to die? Why can't they just say, well, she's a nut?
I mean, how would they feel if I just walked around saying, you know, suffer no Christian to live, let's burn them?
Yeah, you go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fear of different, the fear of the outside world, the fear of different. Belief that former followers were wrong for leaving. Do you know how many times I have sat in church and a little old lady has stood up and talked about how her son had backslid and left the church, and everybody was like, oh, honey, it wasn't your fault, but just don't have nothing to do with him. He was in the wrong. He's the one that was wrong. Not that he saw the bullshit that was going on and he wised up and got out. But it's like, you know, they try to discredit anybody that leaves and tells like it is, and it's just like, oh, well, this is, you know, no. That we ostracize them and we push them out because they just didn't believe enough. They didn't believe well enough. So, it's kind of funny. These are looking similar. Abusive members. I think that little talk that I had a couple podcasts ago shows how that goes. Depending on the denomination and depending on if you're a woman. A lot of abuse. We're not going to talk about the Catholics and some of the things they've been accused of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of abuse. And it's not just physical abuse. I mean, there's mental abuse. There's abuse of power. Mental abuse can go looking at somebody in the face that you know is living paycheck to paycheck and telling them to still give God 10% of their income. Or else.
Well, it's like the Mormons. The Mormons treat it like a mafia.
Mm-hmm.
What the Mormons do is they keep a running tally of, they have these little envelopes, right? And you're supposed to put your offering in the envelope and write your name on it and what's in there. And these envelopes go into the offering plates. Those mm-hmm. plates are taken, counted, and they have books, log books, right, where they log in each member of the congregation and how much they gave. And then there is a certain time of the year, it's like every 6 months or so,
like an audit,
they will call people into the bishop's office, and you sit down in front of him, and he's like the fucking godfather, and he opens the books and he looks at you and says, I see here that you're behind on your tithing. I see here that you got a few Sundays here when we didn't get that 10%. And I'm not making this up. This is real. And they will tell you that you need to come up with the rest of your tithing because that God needs that other 10%.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I worked for a Mormon guy who made t-shirts and such. Had this little business where he custom made t-shirts for sporting groups and, you know, pool leagues, bowling leagues, things like that. And he had a whiteboard in his office. And me and my friend who worked with him, we helped him design the shirts and stuff. But on that whiteboard in his office was a listing of how much tithing he gave the church every Sunday and the math for it. And he kept it like a fucking checkbook because he didn't want the bishop to call him in 6 months and want to know why he was behind on his church payments.
Wow.
That's fucked.
A little bit. That's a little bit. A little bit. And, you know, again, questions of a kid. Why does God need money? Why can't, you know, if he needs a church, why can't he?
Well, the church will tell you God doesn't need the money. The church is for the church. The church money is so that they can build the rec hall for the kids. The church is so they can buy vans to get people to church. The money is for, well, unless you're an evangelical and he tells you that he had to spend the $6.5, you know, $1 million on a private plane because God told him he couldn't fly on normal flights with normal people because he couldn't dirty himself amongst the non-believers. Fuck off.
They use deceptive, manipulative tactics to recruit.
Do I even need to comment on that?
Well, I mean, I was at a church one time, and they had a van program. You were talking about the vans?
Uh-huh.
They went to the local trailer parks, and they talked, went by trailer, and pretty much said, hey, you want rid of your kids for a couple hours every Sunday? Put them on our van and we'll take them to church. Y'all don't have to come. Y'all are, you know, meth heads. You're a lost cause. Why don't you send your kids? And we went, and then that church, all the kids called every old person in their grandma and grandpa. It was creepy, but it was a tactic. And it was manipulative.
Because they're a cult.
Yeah. Followers feel like they're never good enough. I never heard a nice, positive sermon in my life. There was nothing positive. It was all hellfire, brimstone. You're going to hell for this. You're going to hell for that. This is a shortcoming. That is a shortcoming. God doesn't like this. I had never heard a positive thing. It was this constant drilling into your head
that you were going to hell and you were never going to be good enough. Yeah. And while he was preaching the hellfire and brimstone of what you're doing wrong, what was he doing?
Well, while he was drilling it into my head that I was a bad person, he was literally drilling my mom, the treasurer. So, yeah, who was the bad person? Let's see. Centered around a conspiracy.
A conspiracy?
What's the resurrection?
A fairy tale?
Yeah. Or a conspiracy, you know. That one, I mean, that one might be a little bit of a reach, but it was on the list.
I just thought I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Zombie Jesus didn't get up in 3 days and eat nobody's brains.
I still think Mary Magdalene had a garage door opener. Freaked the little sentry guys.
Oh, she had a garage door opener and Jesus was up in it all the time.
Anyway, let's see. And, like, they made some good points about how, like, Christians, because they are in it, or religious people that are in the religious stuff don't see it as a cult because they're in it. Cult members, if you ever watch any documentaries about cults, the members are always like, I didn't realize it was a cult.
Yeah, the followers of Charles Manson said they didn't realize they were in a cult either.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we were in a cult. I just thought everybody was real happy. You know? But it's like people who are on the outside are looking in. It's like, that's a fucking cult. And I think because of the way I was in the church, but I still felt like an outsider.
Yes.
And every bit, it all felt wrong. Like, you know, none of it felt right. It's like this stuff being talked to us and told to us, it all just, it felt wrong. It uncomfortable and weird and wrong. And I was like, they kept telling me, like, you were supposed to get these elated feelings of the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And all I felt was like, this shit is wrong. And I never felt good. And that's because I was literally an outsider on the inside looking at this stuff. Like anybody, like a normal person on the outside would have been looking like, yeah, that ain't right. So, let's see. I think, oh, here's an interesting one because we were talking about this pertaining to the Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
Religions are officially recognized by the government.
Yes.
The Church of Satan is recognized by the government.
Yes.
So all the people who say that your belief system is a cult, it's recognized by the government.
If my belief system is a cult, Christianity is definitely a cult.
But, I mean, they're both recognized.
We are both recognized by...
It's one of those, like, you know, you can't have it both ways. Because, I mean, you have people say what you believe is cult. You know, Satanism is a cult. Church Satan is a cult.
Yeah, I know it's the whole you can't have it both ways. But when you're dealing with Christians, they have this whole do what I say, not what I do kind of mentality.
Yeah. And then the longevity. There's a saying that said, like, the longevity of a religion. Like, if it's lasted more than 100 years, it's transcended from being a cult into an actual religion. There's, you know, somebody...
There's gray areas to all that.
A lot of the stuff I looked up, there are a lot of gray areas, but we were just having this discussion of what's a cult? Christianity a cult? Church of Satan a cult? I don't have any particular belief system other than I have that umbrella pagan thing, and I don't really fit into like a specific niche, but they could see the way I believe is a cult. I think it's a gray area. It's hard to define. You can look at things like, I mean, all the examples that they gave was Jonestown was definitely a cult.
Yeah.
Waco was a cult. Like, the Heaven's Gate was a cult. I mean, those were the three big ones that kept showing up on everything. But they were, like, extreme examples. Yes. And they're like, not a lot of cults get, you know, that extreme, but they're like, they don't usually have the longevity because they kind of implode from within. And I'm big on watching documentaries because I'm boring. And I've watched a lot of them about cult things, and a lot of them, they do. They implode from within. The Church of Satan is still going strong, what, 60 years after its establishment?
Yeah, I want to say 66 is when it started.
And it hasn't imploded from within.
Now, Satanism has been around a lot longer than the Church of Satan.
But
the recognized Church of Satan, you're looking about 1966, I think.
Right.
Somewhere in there.
And, you know, and I don't know enough about them, and I don't know if you know a lot. Like, do they pay taxes? Or do they have that non-tax thing?
The Church of Satan?
Yeah.
I actually do not know if they pay taxes or not.
Right. You would think if they're recognized, they probably don't.
They probably don't.
Yeah. But it was interesting to research all this because, you know, like I said, I watch documentaries and stuff, so I like weird culty stuff. So maybe that's why I like you.
Well, like I said, they've escaped getting this cult-like status because of how long they've been around and how good their PR team is. But let's be honest. And I'm just going to come out right out and say it. Organized religion, in the sense of things like Christianity, who are vocal, manipulative, and intrusive, almost like cancer, have held back society. That's why when Christianity became the big thing on earth, it was called the Dark Ages. Because all the Enlightenment was taken away.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as things like Christianity have any say-so in anything, we are never going to advance as a society. Because we will constantly be held back while these motherfuckers prance around with their fucking Peter Pan fairy tales.
Well, I think you can say that about all organized religion.
Well, that's true. Because
it's caused a lot of war, it's caused a lot of strife.
Well, look at this. And I'm going to say this, and I know you're going to give me that look, because I'm about to mention something that's a no-no topic. People get antsy when you talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. You know, you look at what's going on in the Middle East at the moment. You have two religious sects. You have the Jews, and you have the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
Who are right now in the middle of combat with the Palestinians. And Iran is helping them. Here's the thing. You have two swinging dick groups that are in power. Dropping bombs on each other. Over a fucking fairy tale that doesn't exist. And the people getting caught in the middle of it are just the everyday people trying to live their fucking lives.
Yeah.
I'm not backing one side or the other, mind you. I'm not here to be pro-Palestinian or pro, you know, Israel. I'm here to back all of those innocent people caught in the middle of that who aren't looking for any of that. Palestinians shouldn't be dying to bombs. Neither should the Israelis. Neither side should be having to suffer because these two groups of people have spent the last two millennia fighting over a fucking religion that isn't real.
Well, I mean, it's been all through history.
It has been.
I mean,
and it needs to stop.
Like the Crusades, Then you had the Protestants and the Catholics and, you know, all those years of fighting.
Well, that's just Christians fighting other Christians, which is an even dumber thing.
I mean, I guess it's the pacifist in me. It's just like, can we just go ahead and, like, you know, well, seed the clouds with weed and have everybody chill?
When you look at Israel and Iran and the Palestinians, you at least at that point have two different religions.
Yeah.
Fighting each other. You talk about Protestants and Catholics. These are two motherfuckers that believe the same thing.
Well, they just have different beliefs on how you talk to God.
That's it. They're killing each other on how you talk to something that isn't there.
And it's nothing different than the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims.
That's true. Same difference.
Their whole thing is who should be the leader, whether it should be the best person for the job or a direct descendant of Muhammad. That's all they fight about. They believe the same thing. They just fight about that.
And it is ridiculous. All of it. It is absolutely ridiculous that you would have an... That's another thing about organized religion. They fight amongst each other over the same thing.
But that plays into the cult thing of imploding from within.
Mm-hmm.
Because of different ideas. And questioning the authoritarian of one side of it.
And they're fighting over how you talk to God.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Sky Daddy ain't listening.
But, this was interesting.
I noticed she's trying to bring this to an end quickly because she's getting uncomfortable with where the topic is going. Well, because Impier is a wonderful human being. She loves life. She loves all forms of life. She believes that life is the most sacred thing that we have. Well, be it another person, an animal, a fucking tree, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I believe in animism. I think everything has a spirit and everything is interconnected. And you can see that in the world today. I mean, the world is miserable because the world is miserable. And if we could all just, I don't know, like I said, see the clouds with weed and everybody chill the fuck out for about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Share the world.
Everybody just needs to lighten up.
Everybody needs to buy each other a Coke or whatever the fuck song that was.
Look, they've been fighting over this shit for, you know, 10,000 years.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to fight over it because until the day comes that we bury religion and we start really focusing on the things that matter, they're still going to keep fighting over it.
Well, and it's to the point now that it's not really about religion. It's about
money and control.
It's money and power.
What was it that was said? It's, you know, the war between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It's not about God. It's about money. It's about turning Israel into fucking Disneyland.
Well, the land of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
China wants it. They want to build on it. And whoever has that's going to make a butt ton of money.
China wants to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
But let me tell you a secret.
Yeah.
China ain't as powerful as people think they are.
Have you seen their robot dogs?
I have seen the robot dogs. By the way, she's going to link this video on social media. It's a video by a comedian by the name of Sam Hyde, who I think explained it best how Americans get scared when they see the drone displays in China. And it's like, yeah, but like that's the low-hanging fruit. It's fucking drones.
Right.
I've seen the Chinese robot dogs.
Yeah.
If that's the thing I have to worry about.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah. Anyway, we kind of got a little left field.
But
here,
I'll get her to link that video. It's 45 minutes of him explaining why Elon Musk's new policy for importing people over here because Americans are stupid is the dumbest thing he's ever heard. And look, I don't get political.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see people outside our country. And I'm not saying anything bad about these people. You know, the Indians that want to come over here on these visas and work, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just trying to get a leg up in life.
Well, I think they're going to be easily exploited.
Well, they are going to be exploited. That's the problem.
Fear about it. Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't just say that there's nobody in our own country smart enough to do the job.
That's a justification to
hire. It's a justification to hire slave labor.
It's outsourcing without outsourcing.
It's slave labor.
Yeah. So yeah.
They're going to tie these people into jobs they can't leave, because if they leave them, they'll get to go home.
Yeah.
It's not about the Indians, guys.
And they'll work them to death and call it a work ethic.
These guys that are taking these visas, there's nothing wrong with them. They're probably wonderful people.
And probably highly intelligent and capable of doing the job.
When I was in high school, we had an Indian kid on my wrestling team, my sports team. He was one of the coolest guys I'd ever been around. His family was one of the absolute most fun groups of people I have ever been around.
They made you dance.
We would go to parties at his house. These people, man, oranges, golds, greens draped everywhere, music going, food everywhere, just dancing and singing and having a good time. Nobody was fighting. Nobody hated anybody. They didn't care what my religious belief was. They didn't care that I wasn't Hindu, and I didn't care that they were, because we were all just having the time of our lives. It was like a fucking Bollywood movie in that backyard. And I'm telling you, I have been around people from India my whole life. They are some of the best people I've ever been around. And these people that are going to come over on this visa, I just don't want to see them exploited, because they're probably good people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smart people. They are. And, God, they're a lot of fun. Food's good, too.
Well, I mean, what guy was talking, he's like, they're just not even seeing them as people.
No, they're numbers.
They're numbers. They're production numbers.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
That's not right.
No.
I mean, it's not. But I'll put the link of that up on the social media stuff, because it's kind of funny, but it's pretty deep, too. I sat there enthralled for about 45 minutes of this guy talking.
Well, I don't get political for the most part, but I think there are a few things that this country needs to think about before they do. Because it's not going to end the way that people think it is. The people coming in these visas are going to be treated like slaves. And all in all, that's the big problem. Like, I don't have any problem with Elon Musk. I think Elon Musk is brilliant. I think he's a bit of a douche sometimes, and I think that there are certain things that he should be careful about, but on the whole, I don't think he's a terrible person. I think he just is what he is, but I think he has a lot of ingenuity. I think he's got a lot of great ideas. I really do.
I just think he sees people as robots and not people.
Well, I think he sees people as robots, but if I'm going to be honest, if you've ever listened to him talk,
yeah,
or you've ever watched an interview with him, or seen him do things, I really feel like, and I hate to use this word, but Elon comes off to me as somebody who doesn't get emotionally attached to things. Almost like he's somewhere on the spectrum.
Possibly.
I hate using that word, but unfortunately, autism is a thing, and there are different degrees of people.
Yeah.
I've dealt with them my whole lives, and sometimes people they have different emotional states. And Elon, I feel like he's on the spectrum in some way. Just the way he reacts to people,
mm-hmm,
and the way he talks about people and things, it makes me feel like he's not doing it maliciously. It's just the way his mind works.
He just doesn't get it.
He just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And that's all there really is to that. All in all, I don't know what's going to happen after the 20th of January, when the new regime steps in. I don't know. You know, Trump is saying a lot of crazy shit. And he's got a lot of shit he wants to do day one. And though I do agree with him on some things, I don't agree with him on others. And that's another thing. Don't base your political opinions based on one side or the other. You don't have to be purely on the left or purely on the right. Critically think about each issue and how it affects and how you think about it. For me, there are things about Trump getting elected and things he might possibly do that I agree with. I really believe at this point that we have to do something about immigration. Not the people who are here legally and not the people who are here just working to better their lives. That's not the thing. I don't think people are illegal. I think there are a lot of people that come through that are really legitimately trying to find a better life for their families. But I think there's a lot of people that are getting through. That are getting through because their countries don't want them, because they're criminals, because they are doing terrible things. And unfortunately, it's going to affect all immigrants that have come through illegally, and not just the ones who are misbehaving. But I really do believe that it's something we got to get a handle on. And I agree with him on that. But there's also a shit ton of things I don't.
Well, I mean, and I just hope we're able to continue this.
We'll be able to continue this because I have lived through Christian governmental regimes before. I've been through Republican presidents. I've been through Democratic presidents. And I have been the way that I am through all of them. And not one time has it ever changed for me. We're not a target for them because we don't matter.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's not worried about it. He touts the Christian thing to get the Christians on his side. Trump doesn't believe a goddamn word of that. I don't care what he says. Now, I'm not knocking that he can't get any of his job done or anything like that. But the man is not a Christian. I don't give a shit what he says. But I get that it scares people that they're coming in that way.
Right.
But I've dealt with it before. I'll deal with it again. We'll be fine. There were satanic radio shows when I was growing up.
Right.
You know, I lived through the satanic panic. You know, I was going to hell for playing D&D.
Well, but in the off chance that we end up with a big black X on our mailbox, we'll keep posting until then.
I'll keep posting even after then because I really don't give a shit. They can come to my door. I'll shoot a motherfucker. I don't care. I don't have any guns. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just thought I would throw that in there.
All right, badass.
Hey.
You ready to wrap it up?
Well, I guess that this is the end of the podcast. The cruise director is telling me that I'm too long-winded. I don't know what she's talking about. Joe Rogan can interview somebody for 3 hours and nobody yells at him.
Anyway, while we still got it, and we're not, you know, hauled off to Christian camp, you can find us on social media, Facebook and X under Baron Blasphemy. Instagram will be Under the Horns. Website is underthehorns.castos.com.
That's the name of the podcast, by the way. It's Under the Horns.
Yeah, we keep forgetting to say that. But
we're probably going to do a YouTube channel where we're going to put up clips from the podcast so people can find it there.
So, just keep looking for us.